You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sanil, broadcasting from the All Asia Broadcasting Center here in Bukit Jalil, Kuala Lumpur. Joining us in the studio is our good friend from ATNS, flying all the way from Austria, Mr. Andreas Gerstenmayer, the CEO of ATNS. The last time we spoke, Andreas, was about 4 months ago, 3 months ago, when you guys launched the big investment, billions of ringgit investment into the Kulim High Tech Park. I'm sure there's a lot of things that are progressing. There's a lot more that needs to be done. But again, thank you very much for gracing us with your presence here in Malaysia. Why don't we do a recap into what has transpired over the past few months, considering that globally there's a lot of things happening, Russia-Ukraine conflict, rising oil prices, the rising commodity prices. Domestically, there's also a heightened political risk. But at the same time, business is also coming back. Malaysia's opening up. Endemicity is kicking in on the 1st of April. Hopefully, a lot more restrictions are going to be lifted. Why don't we do a quick recap into ATNS in Malaysia over the past few months?
Yeah, you're welcome to do that. So probably talking a little bit about what happened. So in October, we did the groundbreaking. It was a very successful ceremony. And right after that, we started construction work. So in February, we finished already smashing in 10,000 of piles into the ground in the Kulim Park. So now the construction is ongoing. We are very nicely on time. So things are progressing well, and we have employed already close to 200 people. So employing people is one of the big topics we need to take care of. Getting the right labor force on time with the right qualification, this is our biggest challenge, not so much the construction.
Okay, I see what you mean. Let's talk about the requirements set by Malaysian government. I don't know whether it's a requirement, but perhaps a suggestion on having greater local employment here. How is that coming along, hiring more Malaysians into your park?
Sure, this is basically the idea, to bring as much as possible Malaysians on the spot. But we need also to think about how we can recruit international experts. It needs to be a combination, because our industry is not active in Malaysia so far. So we need to bring in experts from all over the place, from China, from Korea, from the Philippines, and so on and so on. So this will be a mixture out of both. And we are talking to the ministry, at least at the beginning, to open up a little bit the quota to enable us to ramp up as fast as we need to.
How is that negotiation coming along with the ministry?
Yeah, it's getting progress, but I think we are not done.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the evolving landscape on the political story here in Malaysia. From a business perspective, how do you hedge yourself against political risk in Malaysia? Do you feel that no change in business? Do you think that this is bringing some risk into the business of how you guys plan ahead into the development of ATNS here in Malaysia?
Yeah, for us, the important point is our relationship with MIDA. I think this is the stable partner, and I think they have proven over centuries that they can really decades, not centuries.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
About decades, that they are a really reliable partner to create business, to establish new businesses. I think this is the important connection point.
See, this is another vote of confidence into MIDA, perhaps its role and its responsibility in bringing foreign investors like ATNS over. A few weeks ago, I did an interview or a forum, actually. I was asking one very seasoned individual in terms of what would it take to get more foreign investors coming in. He says that get more teeth into MIDA, empower them, not just by giving them budgets, by giving them a greater leeway, but more importantly, by ensuring that all the other agencies work together. I'm talking about domestic agencies work together with MIDA. Do you agree with these kind of views?
I think this can always be improved, but to make it an international comparison, I think MIDA is already a very, very good best practice case. We know we have done a scouting before we decided for Malaysia, and MIDA was one of the decision-making points. This was really one of the advantages, that we have one-stop shop in the country who gets us connected with all the ministries and other parts of the administration. For sure, you can always improve, you can make it more efficient, so people are better linked to each other, listening more to each other, but I think it's already on a very good level.
All right, let's talk about the technology transfer, both talent as well as the real hardcore technology. The last time we spoke, it was ATNS Chongqing moving into the technology transfer into ATNS Kulim. perhaps for some of our friends out right now watching us, what would be some of the positive impact that could be garnered in the semiconductor business? What will you guys build there? How will you guys create that kind of value chain, both locally and internationally?
First of all, ATAT has entered into this kind of business with IC substrates 10 years ago. There we started to do investment in Chongqing, China, and created a really good level of capabilities. Within these few years, we established ourselves in the industry to be one of the top leading technology addresses and companies. So what we are now doing is we try, in our vision, create a kind of know-how triangle between Chongqing, future Kulim, and Austria. And we want to move people around. So we want to share experience. We want to bring people from China to Malaysia and from Malaysia to China, and the same with Austria. And this, what we will establish there is an ecosystem which should be very innovative, but also very robust in terms of technology development, further development of the business, and for the advantage of all three parties and countries as well.
I'm sorry, I have to ask you a very sensitive question, but because of the rising tensions in Russia and Ukraine and globally, we've seen how the value chain or supply chain business is going to be affected or is currently affected from palladium supply, neon gas supply, nickel prices, and so on. Do you think that this is going to be something of a greater risk to watch for when you build this international ecosystem to triangulate in Austria, China, as well as in Malaysia?
First of all, I think what we see in the Ukraine, it's a humanity tragedy. I think this is, for us, it's beside all the economic impact. From the economic perspective, for AT&S especially, the impact is limited. Basically, what we see some cost increases in material, in transportation cost, in energy cost, things like that. From a supply chain point of view, we don't see a significant impact on our business. Where we can consider or can recognize some impact at our customer side, either in the semicon industry or in the automotive industry, they face bigger challenges than we do.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with AT&S here in Malaysia. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. I have with me in the studio Andreas Gerstenmayer, the CEO of AT&S. Let's talk about the solutions that can be expected from the market, both business solutions as well as consumer solutions, coming in from the AT&S Kulim High Tech Park. Do you think that the solutions can be felt immediately, or do you think that this is going to be a step-on-step approach where some of the solutions are still going to be brought in from other markets into the places here? And of course, how do we see these kind of solutions being exported to other markets that you guys operate out of?
And finally, we need to understand what we are supporting. So we are shipping components to the semiconductor industry for the back-end processes called packages. And we are focusing on the very high, ultra-high-end processing business. So applications can be seen in 3G, in autonomous driving, in cloud computing areas, but also data processing and transmitting applications, like we need them for Internet of Things and artificial intelligence.
Some of them are clearly needed by developing countries more than most. Do you think that this could be a key market for you to, I guess, explore further?
I think the entire world is heading towards a more digitalization, more digital society all over the globe. And I think this is important to understand what is behind the scene there. Digitalization always means huge amount of data generated, data transmitted, then data processed. And in all cases, you need very powerful computing resources. And this is what we are supporting with our new technologies.
You know, you're a veteran in the industry. You've been around for quite some time. You also bring about that kind of wealth of information or experience that you've seen from 2 decades ago, last decade, this decade. What do you project what's going to happen in the next decade or the decade to come? What will be some of the key areas that will happen to the market, and how is AT&S going to function towards servicing the needs of that kind of expectations or the forecast that you expect?
Yeah, for the coming years, first of all, what we will see exploding volumes of data. And I think this is, as I said before, this is one of the key drivers of new technologies, because you need to handle all of that. You need to make it very performant network. So artificial intelligence, cloud computing, Internet of Things will not work if we don't have the computing backbone available. And this is the very strong trend. So new architectures in microprocessors, new nodes, more innovative solutions, that will be the key for success in the semiconductor industry in future.
The last time we spoke, one area that I was asking more on, it's not just about today's capabilities of ATNS, i.e. the manufacturing of substrates and IC substrates, but more of the solutioning that you guys can bring to the market, to your clients, consulting, new tech into AI. Do you think that this is the key point for ATNS to continue to grow? Not just on the manufacturing, but the solutioning part as well.
Sure. What we already did, we have a lot of interaction when people are starting designing new products. So providing them engineering resources, doing simulation stuff and things like that is already a significant extension of our portfolio of solutions and support.
And do you feel that you need to hire more, or perhaps even think about M&As in order for you to improve on that particular skill set?
Yeah, what we do already, we extend our capabilities in the area of engineering, design, R&D work. We are spending more than 10% of our revenues in R&D. So this is significant, especially in our industry. Typically, our competitors are spending between 3 to 5%, some very special up to 7%. The second thing is, yes, when we want to expand our capabilities and our supply chain engagement, there can be also the one or the other M&A transaction be needed, especially when it comes to the special topic of packaging and backend of the microprocessors.
And of course, when we talk about microprocessing currently, the question is going to be the same as in October. Not only do we see a shortage in terms of the semiconductor industry, right now, raw materials in palladium, in neon gas, is going to be affected. We're talking about agricultural products like wheat is going to be affected. Spring is coming. There's no plantation or planting of seeds that's going to be affected. Do you think that there is a substitute, at least, when it comes to the raw materials in the development or manufacturing of chips to overcome that shortage issue? Or do you feel that it's going to be, you know, you have to see what's happening right now and just go with it?
I think in situations like we're in today, we need to closely observe the latest developments. So it's really hard because the environment is very volatile. You can see every other day a new development, a new interaction, new impact. So what we typically do, we observe very closely the latest development and decide on a short notice what is necessary to be done. For sure, if the situation stays like it is, and if, for example, you mentioned about neon, if that is really impacting the supply chain, we need to see how to handle it.
Have you seen this kind of volatility happen before in your industry?
We had several phases of volatility. I think in the beginning of COVID, there was a sharp decline in demand. We have seen 2020, first half year, was a significant impact. And later on, when the recovery started, a lot of volatility was in the market as well.
Mm-hmm. And because of this experience, I suppose, in managing these kind of volatility, do you feel that you have the wherewithal, you have the capacity to actually handle further kind of volatilities? A little bit different in terms of different contexts.
I think so, yes. we have created the capabilities and also the tools and instruments to navigate through the volatile business situations. I think we have also proven successfully that we can navigate. We have been showing very nice development and growth over the last couple of years. So I think we can be quite confident that we will also navigate through the current situation.
All right. One more short break before we continue our conversation with ATNS here in Malaysia. Thanks for staying on. I have with me in the studio Mr. Andreas Gerstenmayer, the CEO of ATNS. Let's talk a little bit more about the Kulim High Tech Park specifically. It's going to come on stream in 2024. We're talking about billions of ringgit being invested over the next few years. I know we're both not into the construction business per se, but perhaps you can share with us some of the team effort that is being shared between you and Excite, your project manager. Are there hiccups? Are there in terms of the delivery of the project itself? Is it on track? What would be some of the challenges that you need to overcome?
So far, I think we are quite happy with the progress. We are completely on track. Somehow we also were lucky that we made our decision very early, because after us there were a lot of announcements of new construction projects, all out of the semiconductor ecosystem. So yeah, we are progressing nicely.
Because of this, there's also that element of ESG being factored in. It's no longer a trend or a slang. A lot of companies, particularly companies like yourselves, you inculcate that ESG element into how you do your thing. Do you feel that ESG element is actually espoused in the development of the Aquarium High Tech Park?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. But I think we can...
Why to a certain extent?
Yeah, but I think we can accelerate the speed. For example, when we talk about renewable energy, the sources are quite limited. We have this collaboration agreement with NUR Power, where we can source to a certain level the energy we will need, but not to the full level. What we basically want to achieve is we want to create a CO2 neutral factory in Kulim High Tech Park. This is our target until 2030. So this is not really matching with the Malaysian targets to become neutral until 25.
Yeah.
And therefore also the electrical power resources and others are not available yet. We have a lot of interaction, not only with the Kulim High Tech Park, also with the ministries to speed up there and to get or provide us better availability of renewable energies, for example.
Yeah, so it's a good example to be used actually. So how does that work? Because you're focused into what you do best, but at the same time, there are some auxiliary services that you need in order for you to work better. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you need to, I guess, work with other partners to ensure that you guys continue to get what you need in order for you to stay efficient?
I think this was always the case for AT&S. So as a company who is always working at the leading edge of technologies, you always need to partner up with external forces and partners. And find solutions, either in the technology area, in the energy supply area, in all other cases. So we are used to that. But especially when it comes to renewable energies, we need also the government, we need the administration to support us there. It's not just the Kulim High Tech Park that can support us there.
All right, let's circle back to that hiring target that you have. The last time we spoke, you were thinking about 700 employees to be hired by the end of this year. Currently, you have 200 employees already on the book. We touched a little bit on the mix between expats as well as local hiring. Do you feel that hiring target is still a realistic target to meet, or there would be some adjustments needed considering the developments that is currently happening, both internationally as well as domestically?
There is no adjustment possible, because otherwise we need to postpone our project, which is also not an option, because we need to meet our customer targets. So this is our sequence we need to think about. So we need to bring the people on board. We are quite confident that we can do it, but we need to be flexible there. We need to bring Malaysian people on board, send them to Chongqing for training. We need to bring Chinese people in Chongqing on board to send them to Malaysia. And we need to hire all over the place in other countries, experts to bring them on board as well.
I'm sorry, I have to ask you a very operational question now, because normally human resources might not necessarily be too involved in business lineup or business lines or division heads requirements. But something as technical as yourself, I'm pretty sure there has to be some extremely close collaboration between HR function in the company versus the business products owners, I suppose, in order for them to continue to meet the hiring targets that is needed. How does that work out for AT&S?
Yeah, HR is now in the hot spot of the entire business development, and it's not just for Malaysia. It's globally a topic. We need to think about how we can get more experienced, well-trained people. So the fight for top talents is a global fight already. Especially when we talk about Europe, we are lacking really significant amount of labor force. So also when we do investment in Europe, what we are currently doing, we need to also bring people from all over the place to our European locations. And the same will be true here in Malaysia because of these huge investment programs initiated in the country. Labor force and labor shortage will be a significant challenge for all the investment projects.
Does that also mean that it makes more sense to develop some sort of a university of sorts in order for you to get the talent that you need? So you're not just hiring people with experience and know-how, but hiring people that has the propensity to learn, get them inside, train them.
Yeah, I think we do all of them already. So we also teamed up with Malaysian universities already, thinking about, we call it an IC Substrate Institute. We want to establish something like that at one of the most qualified universities. So that will be also some joint investment of AT&S, government, and potentially the university. So setting up something there, setting up the facilities there to train people on equipment, doing some prototyping there, doing research work, doing education there, especially for the IC substrate ecosystem. We're doing similar things in Austria, we're doing similar things in India and other places. And in Europe, for example, we have this well-proven concept of apprenticeship, where we train young people, 15, 16-year-old people in the company on their job to become a technician or whatever we need. And then we bring them up into our labor force.
That would also mean that you don't need to think so much from the ground up. That could be center of excellence. You just transport them and replicate it here. What has been the reception, both by the local universities and the government, in terms of developing this institute of sorts?
I think it was found to be very highly interesting. And we did not finally decide which is the best fitting university. Our team is this and last week traveling around in Malaysia to discuss and to negotiate with the universities. I'm sure we will find a good solution within a few weeks.
If somebody is opening a notebook and trying to see the to-do list of ATNS in Malaysia and globally, I think we're already down to like 20, 30 bullet points. The problem here is not in the capacity of you trying to accomplish your targets. All of us have to accomplish our targets. The problem here is that the factors are impossible to navigate. COVID is still here. We're still talking using masks. Mask mandate is going to be here forever, I suppose. I don't know, at least for a long time. As a business leader, what do you think about businesses or the community at large in approaching this pandemic? Many of us are thinking about moving into endemic, but of course we have to wait until the World Health Organization to decide that it is officially endemic and no longer a pandemic. Does this bother you in terms of how we need to manage the health crisis versus trying to stay productive and economically viable moving ahead?
Yeah, for sure. I think the effort we need to bring in to develop the business, to run the business, is significantly higher than we had before or without the pandemic. We have experienced it heavily when we built up our Chongqing 3 factory, which started construction end 2019. So just before the pandemic kicked in. But we were on time, a little bit before the timeline, and we could also ramp the factory according our schedules. Mm-hmm. So we brought in hundreds, if not thousands, of engineers from all over the world to China, setting up the equipment, qualifying the equipment, ramping the equipment, and we did it within the regulations of the pandemic. But it was a big effort of our teams. They need to do a lot of paperwork to do all the applications, to get the approvals, things like that. But finally we did it, so we have run through a stress test quite successfully.
Fantastic. I do wish you all the best. Any final words before we conclude this interview?
Yeah, I think I cannot repeat it often enough. So I think AT&S is a growing company. I think it's a very attractive employer. And if anybody is interested in joining us on that journey, on this really nice journey of development and growth, you're warmly welcome to join the AT&S team in Malaysia.
There you go. Not often do we get foreign investors coming in and asking us to sign up, but that call has been repeated, you're right. The last time we were here, we were talking about the same thing as well. I do wish you all the best. I do also implore you to check out ATNS right now, not just as a company, but of course the development right now that is currently happening in Kulim High Tech Park. Eventually it's going to be ready by 2024. That's just 2.5 years away. So for now, that is our conversation with Andreas Gressenmeier, the CEO of ATNS. If you've missed any part of this show, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for ATNS or Notepad. There's a lot of resources that can be found there. Till then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.